Scarves and Spikes, episode 10. We've made it. We officially have more podcasts than the entire Fast and Furious series.
We're big time now. And it's a Saint Patrick's Day episode.
We're at Scarves 10. So, I've been thinking about this all day. Don't make it sound dirty. That made it sound a little bit dirty, but
I did not mean to do that.
Second career in movie narration.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sydney. So we got a lot to talk about today. Got to talk about the big win on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We've got to talk about next week, which is the big one, right? We got Portland coming to town. So we've got Ryan Clark from the Oregonian to talk about. I promise I will not talk about the Oregon Ducks with him. Maybe just one comment.
You will a little bit.
Probably. Just a little bit. we'll preview the game as well. But guys, there's something that's today that it's a national holiday in my eyes and for a lot of people. Do you know what today is?
What is today, Tommy?
March 15th.
I made sure not to show you guys, but for anyone, I wore my Ted Lasso jacket today.
Yeah.
So that's they right. Need to sponsor us, Apple. We're here for you.
Bring them on.
But yeah, I don't even know if anybody's watched yet. My family was actually upset that I was on here right now because they wanted to watch it. So I told them they have to wait until around 9-ish. But they're pumped.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. I love that show so much.
I've only seen season one.
What?
I haven't seen any of season. Very little of season two, unfortunately. But I'll have to catch up and figure out what everyone's talking about. But yeah, season one was great. That show is
great. You need my Apple login?
I don't know. I'm good. I have free Apple TV through T-Mobile.
Oh, all right. Oh, show yeah. off. Well, then you got free MLS package as free well.
MLS,
that's great.
Free MLS season pass as well. Yeah.
And MLB is going to be coming up here in a couple weeks too.
So everybody needs to be tweeting Sydney throughout the week, making sure he's done his homework and watching Ted Lasso.
So excited. But what's to be even more excited about, right? We won on the road.
Mm-hmm. Killed it on the road.
Yeah.
Killed it on the road. I don't recall a fun match like that in such a long time from Atlanta. It was so refreshing to see. It's just nice to dominate an opponent, get a clean sheet, get a few goals, get a bunch of awards out of it. It's just a really fun one to see.
What's Cisneros getting the hat trick last season? I think was like the only like really feel good moment. I don't even remember what the score line of that was.
4-1. 4-1.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, fun story about that real quick. At the training ground Tuesday, Pineda, he's been doing his kind of like this weekly tradition now where he comes up and on Tuesday and explains to the media like what the drills that they're going to be doing that day are, which I think is really cool. But he walked up. Was going over. It was cold that day, so there was only like three of us out there. And I think Doug Robertson made a comment like, that third goal against Charlotte, that was one of the prettiest goals I remember seeing in all 7 years of Atlanta United. And Pineda kind of thought for a second. He was like, so what about the Cisneros goal back against Chicago last year where it started from the very back? And then he named out like the entire sequence of this goal. It's like he has like this memory that's just like spot on. And we were just like, dang, dude, that's impressive. And we were like, no, I mean, this one was pretty. I like this one a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a good sign for the team. Feels like a really good sign for the team. So.
Yeah. Kind of a down moment that game as well. I think that's the one that Miles Robertson got injured too, against Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. I could be getting that completely wrong, but yeah, it's
that one or not? It was around. I don't think time. It was.
Okay,
I was happy that night. There was no sadness with that win. I remember
again.
I would remember that.
I'll have to look it up to confirm, but yeah. Long story short, it is good to be able to. A win like this, especially on the road where Atlanta United have struggled so much, or where they did struggle so much in 2022, only winning two matches all season long away from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But anytime you can go on the road and get a victory, get all 3 points, and really in the fashion that Atlanta United did, is just so key. It really sets the tone for you on moving forward throughout the rest of the season. Shout out to Caleb Wiley. The game is this match of his life. The kid was incredible. You know, of course, 2 goals and an assist. The only player to do that in the United history, or one of 3 players in the Lady United history.
Yeah.
To do that.
Tommy with his Coca-Cola star of the match.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, you know, come on, man. Like, I understand, like, the whole Heineken thing and, like, 21 and over. But come on, can't you just say, like, he's not gonna drink it. At least call him the Heineken star of the match.
Give him the Heineken, like, 0-0.
0-0. You know, like,
give him the Heineken no alcohol man
is
of
that
match.
A real thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, not the man of the match, but the Heineken with no alcohol is definitely. I think I have some downstairs right now. It's terrible. Yeah. So, yeah, no, Caleb, man, I don't know. I'm just super excited for the kid. Yeah, you know, Barco was another one that was victim of that. I don't know that Almada ever was. But, yeah, I remember Barco going through the same thing where he won man of the match a couple of times.
But Heineken, wasn't old
enough to be able to get the award.
And Bello, too. Bello,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
he won it once. But I don't know. I think Lady United should rethink that sponsorship. They tweeted out something and they had to delete it. It's like kind of poking fun at the fact that when it had to be 21 and over. So they ended up deleting it, but the internet keeps everything forever. So
that's right. Yeah. It'll always be there.
Yep.
All right. We have a lot to talk about. Do we do news first and kind of hit on all the news real quick?
Was there anything else you want to hit on the game at all?
Yeah. Man, it's so strange because we've been doing these ratings videos, so you guys definitely need to go check that out for sure on our YouTube. We're doing them after every match now, and we're trying to get your input on who we bring in and who we talk about and who we rate with our super analytical, scientific, proven ratings scale board, aka the whiteboard. So, yeah, go check it out on YouTube. After the matches, we usually have them up, the day after, I think, usually the next evening. But, yeah, as far as the match is concerned, we mentioned it, dominant performance, fun to watch. TPEG88 in the comments saying it's the first time they look like a complete team in a long time. And I think, yeah, this is one of their most complete performances. What kind of stuck out to me, and get your input on it, something that was said after this match by Pineda, and I think I know the answer to it, and I wish I was going to be at the training ground tomorrow to ask him just to kind of get his insight on it. But after this one, he said it wasn't quite a perfect performance. You beat a team away 3-0. But in the match before against Toronto, where you dominated them completely but just couldn't find the winner, he described that one as an almost perfect match. And I think it just seems to me that, you know, I think, but Pineda has a very high standard, I do believe, of his guys. And I think nothing less than dominating possession in every way, being fluid on the ball in every way, and scoring goals and completely dominating the opponent that way, I don't think he's going to settle for anything. To call it a perfect game, I think that's what he has to have. Clean sheet, all that. This one, you had less possession than he probably wanted. You still won. You had less possession, and I just don't think he wants that. I think he wants the full package. So I just thought it was an interesting quote from him.
But it's game state, right? I know that's what Jason Longshore likes to say, but game state. Like, you're down. I mean, you're up 3-0 at that point. Like, it's going to happen. They're going to get crazy. I mean, it would have been nice maybe to get a fourth goal. Yeah. I mean, on Twitter, people complaining about the second half. You're up 3-0, and, you know, there's times last year where they gave up easy goals after they scored a goal. None of that really happened at all. So I maybe wanted a little bit more, maybe a more of a counter as they were trying to attack, but it's okay. And they did have their opportunities. Right. I mean, we talked about it on the ratings show, like Araújo had a couple of good chances in the second half and didn't make the right decision on both of his chances. He tried to pass them both. So, I mean, but that's what people have been asking for him to pass it, not shoot it. So we'll never be happy on what Araújo actually does.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Right.
And don't want to go too much into it because, you know, it's way it's a few days in the rearview mirror. So I'm trying to say then you got Portland coming up. But yeah, hopefully this is something that you build on. Hopefully this is kind of a stick in the ground that says this is what is to be expected of Atlanta United in 2023, especially with all the injuries that they went through in 2022, missing the playoffs, all the frustration, the messaging around. You know, last year, I know we're not worried about last year. We're not focusing on last year. We're just focusing on moving ahead. That's really been the theme for this club. It seems like in the early stages, and so far, at least, so far, and there's still 31 matches to go, including Saturday. So far.
Not including the League's Cup.
Yeah, not including
the League's Open Cup.
Or Open Cup.
MLS season, there's still 31 matches to go. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But I feel, and, you know, there's people who would say, you know, Charlotte's just a bad team. And Charlotte didn't do themselves any favors for sure on Saturday. But at the same time, how many times did we see Atlanta United losing against, you know, quote unquote bad teams in 2022? So you got to beat who you play. And if you don't beat who you play, you're not going to get far. And that includes good teams, that includes bad teams, that includes mediocre teams. And early on, at least, it seems like Charlotte is going to have some rough patches in 2023. But at the same time, you got to beat who you play, beat who's ever on your schedule. And right now, Atlanta United haven't lost a match. And hopefully that continues in much of 2023. They're not going to win every single match. They're not going to draw every single match, but it'd be nice. It'd be nice. But
we're winning.
Positive start. No, but positive start. And yeah, maybe if, you know, a few other things go their way, they have 9 points through 3 matches, but yeah.
Well, and they're trying to. People saw the lineup and people were upset on Twitter about what they were doing. Why isn't Yakamaka starting? Why aren't we seeing Sadich? I'm sorry, Sosa. You know, they're being careful with some of these guys that are just getting into the team, right? And I think that's something that they are maybe a little over paranoid about this season, with good reason. Like, you had so many guys injured last year. You don't really want to push things. If you don't have to play them, don't. And ease them in. And you're seeing that. Now, I don't think we saw Abram, right? Abram?
No, he did. Nope, only that first match.
Yep.
So that's interesting to see if he's going to get some time coming in here, right? Like, I don't think Parada and Miles have been a problem. Parada had a couple scary moments in the game. But, like, nothing that was not... Nothing you're like, he can't start next week. Like, absolutely no way. Yeah. I mean, it's fine of what they're doing. Like you said, this is a long season. No one wins MLS Cup in March. So,
but you can lose careful. It in March.
What?
I said, but you can lose it in March.
You can. But again, like, you look at what the Seattle teams do, right? Like, they were the ones that usually load up in the summer and go from there. And I think they're just trying to be safe. And, like, what's still surprising to me is that I don't think they're worried about Miles Robinson at all at this point. Miles seems healthy. Doesn't seem like they're trying to baby him with time at all. And that'll lead into our news here in a minute. But it's good to see, like, that they don't seem to be worried about him. Even in the preseason, like, they sat him, you know, for a game when there was, like, a midweek game in there. Yeah. But still, like, this is what you would do normally anyway. So I feel very comfortable with him, you know, being fully recovered from that injury, which, you know, when you heard about the injury and then you heard about it in the off season of him coming back, where people are saying that he might not be back until, might not even be playing games until after right now.
Yeah.
And he was able to start in the preseason, able to get through the preseason, no problems. And he's been able to play the season so far, and he's getting rewarded for it too. So I don't know if we want to get into that here, but
I mean, yeah, I think it's about time to move to it because we have a lot of news.
Great
together.
Segue.
Yeah, yeah. And because it's so much, I'm going to try this. We'll see how it works. If it screws everything up for everybody watching, my apologies. I don't think it will, but for those who aren't watching, it's just a news ticker at the bottom to help keep us on track because there was a lot that happened this weekend or past week. Lots of stuff going on. So we'll just start at the top, I guess, more or less in chronological order. Going back to last Thursday. What you got, Sydney?
I was going to say, do we want to start with Miles being named to the U.S. Men's National Team, though, today?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Yeah, that kind of broke before the show, and our run kind of continues here a little bit with key news breaking before the show. But
yeah
Miles being named to the U.S. Men's National Team for the Nations League coming up against Grenada and then El Salvador in Orlando. So great to see Miles back out there. Just his comeback story continues. And I think Anthony Hudson, the U.S. Men's National Team interim manager, saying, we're just trying to ease him back into the picture, into the national team picture. So good on him. I think he was the only MLS guy that was on there. Pretty much all the other guys were, all the other guys were from Europe. MLS crew will be up in the later year in the summer for Gold Cup. But yeah, good on him. Good on him. I don't know how much he'll play. I don't think he'll play against Grenada. You can beat Grenada without Miles Robinson and without first team 11. USRE beat them 5-0, but I would certainly look for him against El Salvador in Orlando, as I think they are in line to probably clinch a spot in the Nations League final round with a win against El Salvador. So, yeah, good on him, and great to see that.
It's interesting to see Miles get in there, right? Like, it's nice to see. And then you see the rest of the lineup of the USA team. It's like, no one else from MLS really at all. And I'm sure I'm still not over a couple years ago when Miles went and then ended up getting an injury.
Yeah.
Running laps after a game. Yeah. But I think they are going to work together. I think they're smart on that. And like, they specifically like mentioned why they're having him come in while he's still recovering from an injury. So maybe you see him play one game and maybe you see him play a half and then you move on from there, which is fine. But I think that's just good news for him and obviously a motivator because that's me. I'd be super down, watching everybody down, at the World Cup while I'm at home. And hopefully a reporter doesn't ask about it, that he was at the World Cup at some point. Still a great story. Everybody hear it. Somebody asked Miles how the time he had and how he enjoyed the time at the World Cup. Cringe. So much.
Yeah. And then the answer just was like, well, wasn't there. So how do you respond? It was just, it was a cringy moment. And those things happen. You ask questions sometimes and you're just not thinking, you didn't quite do your homework or whatever, but that one hurts. That's a dagger. One hurts. So, I'm super happy for him. I think, you get him in now, get his feet back in the water and maybe he doesn't go to the next camp, but I think this is your way of kind of letting him know he's still your guy. Because he's come back strong. It's a vote of confidence for him. That doesn't mean you're not having World Cup qualifiers that you've got to worry about, So you ease him in as you can because the US men's national team wants to keep him healthy just as much as Atlanta United does. So they're not gonna go pushing him into something crazy. So to piggyback off that, Sydney, you did an article today on the entire list of and we're gonna talk about it a lot next week, because it's going to be crucial next week, but the list of all the players that Atlanta United has getting called up. So
Yakimaki's getting called in. Etienne, that was announced about a week and a half ago. Hernandez being called in for Venezuela. So that's four right there for sure. Machop Chol being called in to provisional lineups for a provisional roster for South Sudan for AFCON. I don't think he'll make the final roster, but good to see that he is on their radar kind of for their qualifying run. And then Almada, that hasn't been announced, but I mean, we all know that he's going to be called in.
Earlier last week. Was it?
Okay. What?
Well, he was on the roster.
Provisional.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not quite sure if that was a provisional roster. I don't know. I don't think it was the final. And I have to double check. But either way, yeah. I think
he'll be on the final.
Yeah, I don't think you got to worry about that. I mean, for Atlanta, you do because you just don't want to have a game without him.
But
it's a good chance for them to test the depth and really see what they got at some of these positions next week against Columbus. So we'll see.
I have a group chat, and we're all going to Columbus next week for the game. And all the group chat has been is just me sending, oh, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out. And this is like the first time I really ever remember like them playing through an international break, but they have to now because there's just so many games. Like all of MLS is playing through, and since Columbus is missing some guys, we'll talk about that next week as well. But still, it's frustrating when you have so many good players, and then fortunately you're not really rewarded for it with the games being played.
It's better than losing them to injury, though. So at least you've got that going for you this time around.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a hallmark of a good team too that you've got so many getting called up. That's a bragging point. The injury, losing everybody to injuries last year was just a cluster, and it just sucks. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to at least knowing like, all right, cool. In a week, we get them back.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to worry as much about losing a ton because it's only for a week in this case. So
yeah,
all right, cool. So we'll move through these quickly, but yeah, so now we're going back. Luke Brennan getting his contract. Kind of the one I think most people expected. He was kind of like the good shout for the next homegrown, but he showed out the opportunity that he had at the AmFam Cup, and he's been a staple with the twos. If you watched the twos last year, the kid, every time he came on the pitch, he was exciting to watch. He's not afraid to get forward. He is not afraid to take somebody on one-on-one, and he's just an enjoyable guy to watch. So definitely going to be good things from him going forward, and he got rewarded for it.
Yeah, good for him. And shout out to the person who said on our Facebook page that it's a bad idea for him to sign the homegrown contract because, quote-unquote, you know how it worked for other players.
like Caleb Wiley?
Yes. Yeah, like Caleb Wiley, like George Bello. But I mean, the homegrown thing hasn't worked for a lady not a whole lot. Bello, Wiley are two examples for who it's worked for, but at the same time, you're not gonna say no to that. I mean, come on. Let's be real.
Yeah.
But maybe we get hit 50% on the Carlton family.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. So
speaking of,
perfect segue to the next one.
I'm good at this today. I'm really good at this.
Hitting on it, man. Alan Carlton, brother of Andrew Carlton, who was the first homegrown in Atlanta ever. Brother, he's another one with the twos that's been just a standout. He's doing a great job, and he got his contract with the twos. Not a homegrown contract, but a contract with the twos for through 2024. So big news for him that came out today.
I liked him in AmFam Cup too. I thought that he didn't have huge moments, but he definitely moved the ball forward. He took a real big hit too. I remember, like right at the end of that game, one of the big guys just ran over him. Like he went down. He got right back up too. And like you look at him, you know, he's got that red hair. My wife's calling him a Weasley brother from Harry Potter. And like she's like cheering him on, and then she just sees him get run over, and she had like mom instinct. She's like, "That poor kid's dead. What happened to him?" And then he hopped back up, and everything was fine. But
yeah,
you killed Kenny.
Certainly not hard to spot him on the field.
Yeah. Yep. Good kid, though. Super excited for him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, League's Cup dates were announced for Atlanta. Obviously, we knew that they were playing Miami and Cruz Azul. So, your first match in the League's Cup for Atlanta is going to be down in Miami on Tuesday, July 25th. So, we kind of dodged the random Tuesday game. Mm-hmm. So, Atlanta will travel down, do what they do against our old pal Joseph, light the candle, Tommy. And he can't find it. Dang it. And then they come back up on Saturday, July 29th to take on Cruz Azul. So that'll be fun. It'll be fun seeing the bins kind of packed out with a mixture of Atlanta and Cruz Azul fans. So usually there's the candle. There it is. Usually the Liga MX sides show up really well in Atlanta at the Bend. Mm-hmm. So that's just always a fun vibe. So can't wait to see that. Let's see here. All right, so Luke Brennan, Leagues Cup. Caleb Wiley.
Yeah.
Talked about him plenty. Player of the match week at 18 years old.
Coca-Cola man of the match.
Coca-Cola man of the match. And then to kind of piggyback on that, along with we were talking about Miles Robinson, both of them made team of the week this week. So huge news for just for both of them. Just the awards coming in kind of all around.
How did Pineda not get on there, right?
I know.
Yeah.
He got
Carnell, I think. Yeah, Carnell made team of the week as a coach.
Yeah.
So kind of understandable, but I would have said, you would have thought Pineda would have been a good shot for that, too.
Yeah.
I agree. They were the only team that scored 3 goals, or besides LA, LAFC. They scored
4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. All right. And then all this news just kind of worked out together this week. The 2 schedule has dropped. So kind of last minute. I mean, it was kind of coming in hot. So their first match is against the Revolution second team.
Revs 2.
Yep, Revs 2. And so they're going to be playing. And that was another question that popped up. Where are they going to be playing? Because switching from Next Pro thing or to Next Pro, you know, things going on with Kennesaw State. But they will be still playing at Fifth Third Bank up in Kennesaw. So that will still be their home location. And the tickets went on sale today, actually. So like I said, it's coming in hot. So you go, if you're a big fan, go get your tickets and go check out the young guys.
Real quick, I was gonna say real quick, I'd imagine it was something contractual that was binding them to Fifth Third in 2023.
Yeah.
I would think moving forward they'll be at the training ground, but that's just me. We'll see what happens, but they're at Fifth Third 2023.
I mean it would be tough at the training ground just because of parking.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
What about the playoffs?
That was that's the next point. So the playoffs in Next Pro. 2 interesting rules popping up. The one that I think kind of hit everybody and they were like, what in the world? Like this is oddball. Is in the playoffs, the higher seeds are going to get to pick their opponents in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs, which is just it's interesting. But just odd, right? We'll see how that goes. The other one, and I'm with Mark in the comments. I think this is great. One of the rules that they're trying this year is if you're getting subbed off, you have 10 seconds to get off the pitch or you play a man down for a full minute.
Yeah.
So it's clear why they're doing it with the time issues and the time wasting and the dark arts and all. I think it'll be good to kind of get it going. So
are they using the 2s as kind of like what other leagues like AAA or the AHL, like they're trying to use it as testing rules to kind of get a feeling if it's going to work in the main league?
I'd imagine. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I think that's where you're probably going to start seeing some of the concussion protocol stuff that they've been trying to get to happen and nobody can agree on. I think you'll see that in Next Pro probably. Earlier than anything else. So, all right, because we're coming up on time to get our awesome guest in. 2 quick things.
Oh, wait, did we talk about they get to play? They get to choose the teams? Did I miss that? Did I black out?
I think you blacked out.
I'm sorry. I blacked out.
I'm pretty sure
let me just say, that is the – and I'm sorry. That is an amazing, amazing rule. Like, you call your shot, and, like, there's so much locker room talk.
Yeah.
They picked us. They picked us to beat. Let's go beat them. Like, it's just fantastic. I love it.
Yep.
It could blow up in your face too.
It can. Absolutely.
A lot of crap. Paying attention to what you guys are saying.
There you go. Got to keep the receipts, man.
My bad.
All right. So real quick, you guys know we've kind of mentioned it this week. It is still in the infant stages. So I don't want to, I'm not trying to we're not trying to go out there and just push this really hard yet because we have, you know, planning and things to do. And we want to make sure we're bringing you guys this really good stuff, not changing our format in any way, but we did start a Patreon, you know, really at the time, really just, you know, donations to, you know, we had a lot of expenses to get this thing kind of up and off the ground. And we appreciate you guys' support so much. It has been so amazing. So the Patreon is there. There will be, you know, tiers and things coming and all that, but we wanted to just kind of let you guys know, like, no, we're not just asking for money to not give you guys anything. We're working on it. And it will be coming. And that's just something we're in the conversations, the early conversations about. So thank you all for your support, regardless of, you know, whether you're donating money or not. Just we appreciate you guys being here. So
yeah, absolutely.
And then
do we want to put the URL in the chat, by the way?
Or yeah, we can drop it there. Yeah,
sure.
I mean,
okay.
Well, I was going to say, we were talking about doing an OnlyFans, but Sydney and Tyler shut that down pretty quick. Yeah, so
that's a hard veto for me.
I did 3 push-ups this morning, thinking that was what we were doing. So I was getting ready for it, and Patreon's fine, too.
Yeah. Take what you can get, right?
Yeah.
Final quick note. At the end, we will be letting you guys know who our next guest is for next week. For the Columbus match. So stick around for that one. Got a lot of other good news coming out too. But now we have a very important guest to come on and give us all the insight. Tommy, you want to go ahead and explain and introduce our amazing guest that we got coming on?
So we got Portland this Saturday, 7:30. We thought bringing in someone in that's an expert on Portland. Ryan Clark from the Oregonian. I'm probably saying that wrong. I've been reading this paper for years.
It is Oregonian. I've had people call it Oregonian in recent weeks, and that was less than ideal because, you know, it's not Oregon, it's Oregon. Mm-hmm. So at the very least, if you get that right. I mean, Oregon football has been so good for like 10 years. I feel like people should get it right by now, but it is what it is. So
you would think.
Yeah.
There you go. Throwing up the...
We appreciate you coming on, man. It is always a pleasure because this is one of those things, you know, Western Conference teams, you don't always play them. And and so getting somebody who has been covering the team for how long now?
Just over a year. But, okay. You know, I've lived in Portland my whole life, right, and, you know, deeply familiar with the Timbers over the years.
And you cover the Timbers and?
And the Thorns, yes.
Thorns.
Yeah, between both clubs is my beat. For the Oregonian.
You know, it's always interesting when you look at like the MLS schedules, like it's not a fair schedule, right? Like they don't want to put certain teams against each other. They don't want to take these top markets like a Portland and an Atlanta. And they don't want to like have them play like some of these smaller teams like in the other conference. They want to make these big matchups. And, you know, Portland and Atlanta have been so good that they've been pitting them against each other. You know, regularly on a schedule. And that's good, but it's bad for both of our teams in the standings because you don't get some of those easy matchups. They're always going to make you play, you know, for us, they want us to play some LA every year, usually, and they want us to play Portland. Like that's just what's always finds me weird about the schedule of MLS. They want those big market games so they can put them on TV.
Yeah, I think that doubles down with the Apple TV deal, right? There's more desire to have those exciting matchups, like to flash on the screen and say, hey, this is why you should subscribe. But for example, obviously this weekend's match is a subscriber only one on Apple TV. So different than last week, you know, Timbers fans could tune in to the St. Louis game for free, just going on the app.
So coming off of that match, And then your first match, how are y'all kind of feeling? How's the fan base kind of looking at the week coming into this one?
They're very uneasy right now, to put it lightly. I don't think Twitter is real life, but if Twitter is any indicator, as per usual, early in the season, the sky is falling for the Rose City Till I Die faithful in Portland. And, you know, they have a lot more reason, I think, than just a slow start. For the Timbers, you've got a plethora of injuries that are happening right now for the Timbers. Sebastian Blanco and Felipe Mora both nursing knee injuries with indeterminate timelines. Dairon Asprilla and David Ayala are both on their way back, but still both recovering from their knee injuries. Jimmy Chara has a pretty severe hamstring issue. He's going to be out for a couple of months probably. And then Christian Paredes, 9 minutes into the St. Louis game, runs after a ball and pulls his hamstring. And it's not as bad as Jimmy Chara's at all, but he's obviously going to be out on Saturday in the Atlanta game. Right. And then Evander has been dinged up a little bit. Your prize signing, your $10 million transfer fee, biggest in club history. He's got an ankle issue that he had in training last week, just a bit of a knock. And then, you know, he, during the game, having to fill in for Paredes in like a 70-minute stretch, by the end of it, he had a strained groin that he had to come out of the game and to deal with. So he's a question mark in terms of Saturday, but otherwise a ton of guys out. They traded Bill Tuiloma at the start of the season, got a boatload of GAM for him, which was great for their flexibility. You know, they needed that money in order to find some more guys that are going to be positive contributors, but it left them pretty thin at center back, to a point where, you know, a young guy like Zach McGraw stepped in and he's done very well. But the only other two center backs on the roster are Dario Zuprich and Larrys Mabiala, two guys who are in the latter stages of their careers, and one of them goes down and instantly you're essentially down to one true center back. They, you know, they signed Eric Miller from Nashville as a free agent, and he's kind of a duo right back center back type of guy, but they're thin on the back line. And I think that despite that, despite, you know, the lack of availability of players, they've defended very well. The big issue right now for the Timbers has been capitalizing on, and even in some cases creating chances. Evander is still, despite his health, he the first two games when he was healthy, he seems very much to be adjusting to the speed of the game. He's not a world beater right out of the gate. I don't think you should expect anybody to be, no matter how exciting the signing is. But he's still adjusting. I think that their issues at striker have been well documented by you know, Portland media, myself and Chris Reifer included. We host a podcast, I'll plug it now, called Soccer Made in Portland. And Niasgota has kind of been one of the main foils of that podcast, because he's been brutally unproductive this season, and pretty much same story last year, with the exception of about a month stretch where he exploded. You know, they signed Frank Bolli from a Hungarian club. He's from the Ivory Coast. He's a guy that could step in and help them out a lot. With Felipe Moura obviously injured as kind of their top striker. But at this point, you know, you're just waiting on his visa. You're waiting on the transfer papers. Could be a month or two before you even see him in a Timbers uniform, right? So in the near term for this Atlanta United game, very shorthanded. Timbers fans are extremely uneasy going into this game, because not only are they shorthanded, but historically Portland does not play well in Atlanta.
Yeah. And you talked about all the injuries, and Atlanta are all too familiar with, you know, just what happens when your team really gets decimated by injuries. I don't know if, you know, the Timbers are quite to that stage yet, but so a lot of pieces are missing from the team. Kind of based on that, especially with the Timbers headed cross country, how does that change Gio's tactical approach, considering the, I guess, the limitations and the abilities of players that may not play as much as they would in normal situations? What's Gio's approach going to be in your eyes, and, you know, what's his mindset going into a place where, you know, like you said, the Timbers haven't had too much luck throughout their history?
Well, it's definitely, obviously, it's a cliche, but next man up has been the refrain all week from Gio, from the players, and that's going to be important. But in terms of a tactical approach, still going to be the 4-2-3-1 that Gio typically likes to approach games with. You're looking at Claudio Bravo at left back, Zach McGraw, and likely Dario Zuprich at the center backs. Juan Mosquera, who is a really exciting player, the young Colombian right back, and, you know, defensive midfielders. You got Diego Chara as a club legend, MLS legend, Eric Williamson next to him, who has been in great form so far this season and has this will be the first season, or was the first season, that he came into fully healthy after dealing with knee issues and not really getting his shot, I think, with the U.S. men's national team. Had the injury maybe happened at a different time, he's a guy that could have featured on that World Cup team. And, you know, Evander, if he plays, he'll be the guy in central midfield. But beyond that, depth is not great in that area right now, particularly without David Ayala, without Paredes, without Blanco, who could easily step into an attacking midfield role and has over the years. So that would be the major question mark. You know, Marvin Loria probably on the wing, on one of the wings, at least. Diego Gutierrez, another one, a young guy that went to Nebraska, was drafted by the Timbers, probably will be in that other wing spot. And Nathan Fogaça was started at striker last game. He's a guy that's a little bit more dynamic, a little more, you know, creative and interesting than Niasgoda, but less polished. You know, obviously he's only 22 years old at this point. I'm sure be corrected in the comments by Timbers fans, but you know, very young guy, still trying to earn his place, had a cup of coffee in the USL with San Antonio. That's their option right now at striker, because playing Niasgoda is essentially like having a ghost out there right now. And so tactically, it's going to look a lot like it normally does. They have experimented with, you know, three in the back in recent games when they've been shorthanded, when they didn't have Bravo due to injury. That was kind of their more typical approach. They might do something like that in this game as well, even though they've got Bravo, they've got Mosquera back. Those are two guys that can play up, especially Mosquera. I think that he's the guy that would potentially be an X factor in a game like this that has the potential to be up and down.
So you look at teams that come into the Benz, and healthy teams, sometimes they just come in and they want to play to a 0-0 draw. They just want to get the point and go home. But teams that have injured players, as we saw in Toronto a couple of weeks ago when they came to town, they didn't really seem like they wanted to play soccer. Do you think that Portland could possibly play like that?
We'll see. There have been varying levels of motivation, I think, among the Portland players during stretches over the last year plus. I think that last game against RSL at the end of last year with a chance to get into the postseason is a very good example of that. And Gio was critical of it. Now there are different factors at play there. Obviously Gio has different relationships with different players, and you know, there's certain dynamics behind the scenes that factor in there, but I think they'd be happy to just come out of there with a point given how shorthanded they are. It's hard for me to imagine them thinking they have a realistic chance to pull 3 points, but MLS is weird and there are shorthanded and less than talented teams that pull out improbable results all the time in this league. And that's what I think makes it fun in a lot of respects, but also hard for guys like me and guys like us to, you know, actually provide analysis and predictions and things like that. So, I think it's going to be a tough one for the Timbers for sure.
Yeah. We've got a running prediction count going right now. And I think the first week, two of us hit on the predictions. And since then we've come close, but it's so hard to predict anything in this league.
A good example being St. Louis City comes into Portland last week, wins 2-1, undefeated. Like stuff like that is a perfect example of the weirdness and the parody of the league to me.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
To kind of I guess get a prediction, I'm not necessarily asking for your final result prediction, but because of all the injuries and because, you know, I mean, you've gone through a lot, and I think that's great because I don't know that a lot of Atlanta fans, especially being a West Coast team, are super familiar with some of those guys because you guys have had turnover and everything else. If it were up to you, if you were Gio for a little bit, what would your 11 be trying to come into this one? Or rough 11?
Rough 11 would probably be the one I listed, honestly, just based on the way things are at right now. You got Bravo, McGraw, Zupiric, Mosquera, moving up to Chara, Williamson, Evander, if healthy, if not. I legitimately do not know who they will start in that position or if they'll even have a central attacking midfielder. And Nathan at the striker spot and you know, Gutierrez and Loria on the wings is your best option right now. Everybody else is hurt. You're at that point, you're dipping into academy guys or young guys that are technically first teamers, but haven't even sniffed the field in a year. So it's dicey.
So I want to ask you just from a bigger picture scenario. So Gio Severes has been there for several years. And I think it was maybe this is fifth or sixth season. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was there for sixth season. Okay. Yeah. Because he was there for the 2018 season. This team hasn't, for the longest time, it's been one of the top clubs in MLS, but that's kind of trailed off maybe just a little bit over the past few years. So what's the feeling around a guy like Gio, his status with the club, on his relationship with ownership? Is the seat kind of getting hot for him, or is he going to be given maybe a little bit more rope, you think, considering the injury situation that has occurred early on in the season?
Well, he was given an extension in the offseason. That's a big factor as far as their faith in him. He has a good relationship with the front office. He's somebody that, you know, maybe fans on Twitter get short with, but fans on Twitter get short with everybody. So that's, that is what that is. But he's a guy that there's faith in terms of the front office. I think that the injuries will absolutely be factored into his evaluation of how they've done so far this year. But the expectation very much is to not only make the postseason, but make noise, right? That's been the expectation at this club since its founding. And then they have, as you said, been one of the better clubs in MLS since they joined it. But it does feel in many ways like the rest of the league has caught up to, if not already surpassed, Portland in that respect. Mm-hmm. I think there was a window there and an opportunity wherein, were it not maybe for all of the scandals swirling around the club, were it not for injury issues or a missed signing here or there, Portland could be in that position where they're considered the class of MLS. And, you know, they have won MLS Cup. They won the MLS's back tournament. They've been to two other MLS Cup finals under Gio Severes. But they're in that weird stage where they're trending more towards the middle than they are, you know, remaining at the top. And that's the job for Gio, right, at this point, is to try and send it the other direction. The problem is, even when healthy, the personnel may not line up with that ambition. And I think that when fully healthy, this Timbers team is a top four team in the West. But that's dependent on not only them being healthy, but those individual players being motivated, those individual players being in form, and probably is dependent on a couple more additions, to be honest, now at this point, as we've seen the form that some of the more veteran players are in. So it's an uncertain time. That's the word of the day for Timbers fans.
Yeah, I imagine considering what the club up a little bit north of you all have done last year, I imagine they have kind of sworn up a little bit more in the Portland community. Like, what about us? I mean, why are Seattle winning CCL in? Why are we not? So.
Yeah, I mean, Merritt Paulson has talked privately about that being something that he wishes Portland was the first to do. Same for Gio publicly has spoken about that. Like, it pissed Gio off that Seattle was the first team to win CCL when, you know, everything Portland had done up until that point would lead you to believe that they were trending to that moment, for people internationally to look at Major League Soccer and be like, ah, Portland, like Soccer City USA, there it is, right? So they really want to recapture that. And, you know, it has not been aided by everything else swirling around the team in the last several months and years, really.
So with kind of what you're touching on with how big of a Soccer City Portland has traditionally been, And you may or may not know this, but kind of being a little, you know, in touch with the fans as you are, how do they travel in terms of, I mean, this is a long trip for the team. Do they travel well for something this far away? I mean, do we expect to have a good showing from Portland?
Oh yeah, definitely. there are Timbers fans everywhere. But in addition to that, they do travel very well. The Timbers Army is a dedicated bunch, and I would expect a very solid contingent, even making that long journey over to Atlanta. It's an accessible city. You guys have a mm-hmm. major airport. You know, it's not out in the boonies like yeah. some random stadium. Like maybe taking a trip to Dallas, right? And you fly into Dallas and yeah. the stadium is not even anywhere close to the major metro center. Right. So, you know, that's a different trip, I think, than Atlanta, which I think there'll be a good number of Timbers fans there, and they'll be what they usually are, which is rowdy and fully supportive. So
I remember going to the MLS Cup. I'm from Ohio, so I flew in for it. I walked into the Waffle House. I think I'm going to see all Atlanta United fans. It was all Portland Timber fans and us. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm supposed to have my fans around me, you know, fans that what, like, I was like, nope, it was all Portland Timber fans.
You went to the wrong Waffle House, Tommy.
I guess I did.
Yeah. It must've been a Timbers Waffle House.
Yeah, that's the Timbers supporters group Waffle House.
Yeah. No, but they are foodie people that have good knowledge about where to go whenever they travel. And so it warms my heart to hear that there were a ton of them in a Waffle House, because that's where you go. You go to right. Waffle House if you're visiting Atlanta. So that's
there you go.
No brainer.
All right, so we've hit on the tactical stuff. We've hit on it. It sounds like there's so many parallels between. I mean, we're three games in, but you start talking about injuries around Atlanta, and people start getting, you know, a little bit of PTSD after last year because of how, I mean, it was bad last year. So we yeah. fully understand. In terms of kind of what to expect once everybody gets healthy, you know, you're getting to the point in the season now, I think, where you kind of you're starting to get a feel of how teams are going to be. If the longer term injuries that you're talking about keep it up, do you think they start bringing in some of the younger guys, some of the academy guys, and just seeing what they've got and kind of putting their feet to the fire a little bit?
I don't think so. I think that the injuries for the most part are manageable. They're, you know, with the exception of maybe Jimmy Charas being a longer term one. And you know, the major question mark being Sebastian Blanco, who's dealing with chronic knee issues. So bad, in fact, that he was talking to me about last year, he wasn't able to go up the stairs without assistance from like his wife. He wasn't able to play with his kids on the floor without needing help getting back up. This is serious stuff for Seba, and he's a beloved player in Portland and a reviled one around the league for his competitive fire in a lot of ways. And it sucks to see that happen for a guy like that. And also for Felipe Mora, who has had multiple knee surgeries in the last year and was a dynamic, exciting striker for them, who was the hero of MLS Cup 2021 before obviously the penalty kicks, you know, overshadowed that quite a bit. But he was coming into cult hero status before he had the injury issues because of that goal. But I don't think that they, you know, press that emergency button until maybe they know a little more about the severity of Seba's injury, but also how quickly Felipe Mora comes back, how quickly Frank Bolli is able to join the club, and what those other potential signings that they want to make look like, because they do want to bring in another center back. Ned Grabovoi, the GM, has talked publicly about that. After getting rid of Tui Loma, they want to bring in a more affordable center back that can be an immediate contributor. And then, you know, the striker position, Bolli is the one that they had circled to kind of be a holdover until maybe they look at a young DP in the future. So I don't think they're going to have to dip too far into the academy. I think they're willing to play a little thinner at this point, but We'll see how these next few weeks go. If it's rough, then maybe that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Tommy's mic is muted. He had a question.
Oh, my bad. No, you're talking about MLS Cup and at home, and I can tell you, just watching that on TV and just seeing the atmosphere of that stadium, it was probably one of the coolest things that I've seen. It was amazing. I felt bad that they couldn't finish it.
Yeah, I did too. And that was actually, you know, I at that time working for the Oregonian, I was still covering high school sports and I was filling in at that game. So that was kind of like my introduction to the beat before I was even really on it. And that was surreal. I had been to Timbers games before, obviously, over the years, exciting ones, loud ones. You know, I knew what the Timbers Army did and was, but every seat filled in that stadium, the noise when Felipe Mora scored that late goal to send it to extra time, that's like the loudest stadium experience I've ever had, just based on the acoustics and the amount of people that were there and the volume of what was going on. I've been to Final Fours. I've been to NBA games that were crazy. I was there for Damian Lillard's 40 footer over Paul George. You know, that was nuts, but this was another level, you know, in the way that only soccer can be in this city. Yeah. So that was amazing.
Right. I think we're going to cut you loose here in a second, but I saw on Twitter, Edgar saying he had a full conversation in the comments, saying he had a full conversation with a Timber fan before MLS Cup 2018, saying good people, but yeah, great experience. And, you know, I was there at MLS Cup and just great to see, you know, that the atmosphere out there. But yeah, we're going to cut you loose, but I do have to mention you had some big news of your own a few weeks ago. You got engaged. So yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. got the W, as he said.
Oh, yeah. Twitter, so. Massive W, guys. Biggest one of the year for anybody in Portland, including there the Trailblazers and the Timbers. So
there you go.
Hey, you Ryan, I know we have some Georgia fans in here, so I got to ask you, did you watch the entire Georgia-Oregon game, or did you go scream and throw your TV out the window?
I was there, bro.
Couldn't leave.
I was stuck in what was a great seat in a beautiful stadium, like an amazing stadium experience. But, oh, man, I grew up a Ducks fan. I'm a little more casual now because I ended up going to Arizona State for college and have kind of become more of a Sun Devil fan just through that experience. But I was with my brother who went to U of O. I was with my best friend who went to U of O and his family. Like, they were distraught. And that at that time, it's really funny that you mentioned that game. At that time, everybody was like, oh, it's time to move on from Bo Nix, man. He ain't it. And then he ends up tearing it up and having a near like Heisman candidate season for them. And now that he's back, everybody loves him. He's a god in Eugene. It's just funny
how that works.
Sports,
right?
Work. Yeah. It's just what's been for me lately, right? But that was a great game to watch as an objective fan. But if you're a Duck fan, it was misery.
I went straight to the bar. To the bar. Halftime, did not finish watching it at all.
Yes. No, we left in the middle of the fourth quarter. That was about as far as we could take it. But you know, it was fun visiting Atlanta. I'd never been there before. And, you know, we checked out the College Football Hall of Fame. We stayed downtown, went to some great restaurants. So it was a good time.
I think that was Kirby Smart getting his frustration out on Dan Lanning for taking the job in Eugene. So.
Yeah, you would have thought, right? Oh, Lanning's got his number because he was there. He knows what's going on. But no, it was the exact opposite. Kirby was like, yeah, I'm the man. You're just figuring yourself out. So. Yeah. So.
Well, thanks, Ryan. We appreciate you hopping on. One last thing, because it is Ted Lasso Day here. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
No, I do not. Everybody in the soccer community in Portland and everywhere else is like, dude, you got to watch Ted Lasso. So eventually I'll probably give it a watch, but it's just, I've got so many shows on my list of need to watches. And then I have my comfort shows. You know, my fiance Emma and I have been into Top Chef heavily lately. So yeah. that's been the go-to.
That's a good one.
Love Top Chef, but yeah, I'll add it to the list and hopefully try and
it's watch worth it. It's worth it.
There's, yeah. Yeah.
You need my Apple ID. I'll send it over to you.
No, I believe me. I got the Apple subscription. We're good. It's being paid for by my company. So we're fine. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, real quick, where can everybody find you at?
Yes, so you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan T. Clark. That's R-Y-A-N-T, and then Clark with an E at the end. People who spell it without an E are just not real Clarks. And we host a podcast, Soccer Made in PDX. Soccer Made in Portland is the full name. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. And my work is on OregonLive.com. Any and all timbers and thorns news that you might be interested in, that's where you'll find it.
Awesome. Excellent. We'll see you in MLS Cup at the end of the year, sir.
Yeah. If I'll buy you guys all a drink if that happens. How's that sound? That's how confident I am in that not being.
We'll be waiting.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you. Good stuff. Great guy. Definitely.
I went back to MLS Cup vibes. Like, you know, when he brought up that being at the bar, when Edgar brought up being at the bar, I was thinking of Waffle House. It's just a fun time. Such a rainy, fun time. But, like, you're going to watch his game on Saturday, and, like, you can't not think of that at this point. Like, that's what such a big game does. Now, every time you play them, whether they're relevant or not, like, you're just going to go back and always think, like, these two teams played for the championship here. Because the last two have been in Portland.
Yep.
So it's the first time they're coming back. So we got to beat them. Got to beat them.
Got to.
I paid more than I'm comfortable with comfortable saying for a ticket in the supporters section for MLS Cup 2018. And it was totally worth it.
Oh, 100%.
Totally worth it.
Being in the supporters section. I mean, anywhere in the stadium. But being in the supporters section for that.
Yeah.
That's it's fun on a random Wednesday game against DC United. So MLS Cup packed out with 73,000 people, man.
That's great. Yeah,
good times.
I was 20th row probably from the top. So that's nice. Where I was.
Hey, nothing nice. Wrong with that.
And Timber fans travel tremendously. We already touched on it, but they packed out their entire visiting section.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most visitor support I've seen in a match since covering Atleti United. So
I wonder how many, because it seems like we've gotten the maybe we just didn't notice it before because there was still glass in the press box, but it seems like all the away supporters hang out right below the press box where we sit.
Yeah, that's always been the case, I think.
Yeah, and it's just like you hear their chants going on and they get drowned out, which is good, by the Atlanta supporters. Mm-hmm. But they're right there, so you like look over the edge and there's just this one little bubble of different color, and that's it. Yeah. And they're having a good time.
Yeah. Well, there was a controversy, I remember, like going into MLS Cup because mm-hmm. they didn't get like offered enough tickets, or they didn't think they were getting offered enough tickets. And I mean, they still made it, but yeah, that was a cool scene to see over there with everybody. Yeah. Like they did their own march into their section and everything, and that was cool to see.
Yeah.
Hey, soccer's big time in North America,
depending who's on announcing this game.
So it is.
Go ahead, Sydney.
Let
them know. Who is it?
Kevin Egan. WWE legend.
Kevin Egan. Kevin Patrick Egan.
Yep. And I'm going to take the moment to point out that it is St. Patrick's Day coming up.
That's right.
So if you didn't notice.
Are you working on St. Patrick's Day?
Is who working on St. Patrick's Day?
Tyler, on Friday. Like St. Patrick's Day is Friday.
Yeah. I am working, but in the evening. So I'm doing everything else before. And having my Rubens and everything before. And my beverages before. Nice. So, yeah.
I'm not Irish, but I took off. I'm going crazy.
I probably should have, but it is what it is. I love St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to bring it up when Kevin Egan was on because I don't know. Like I have no ties to Ireland other than my ancestry.
Yeah.
I've never been there. I don't know of any family that actually lives there. But I do know that my bloodline comes from there, so that's my tie to it.
What was going to be your line? Like, I'm Irish. You're Irish.
Yeah. What up? We should have a beer together.
Oh.
I found out you smoke cigars. Do you want to go have a cigar?
I can confidently say that I am not Irish. Called a hunch. Called a hunch. I haven't done any research, but I can confidently say that.
My wife's Irish, well, you know, and I'm usually the DD, so that's I could say that I'm Irish, so
yeah. Learn something new every day about you, Sydney.
I know. Right? We want to do Tweet of the Week now, or wait till after we talk about Portland a little bit more?
Well, I guess we probably should have done it a little bit earlier when we were talking about last week's game, but
yeah, I'll say let's do it now.
All right, our man James at ATL UTD James saying, "Never forget the Hosetu incident," and essentially it's Charlotte FC fans not celebrating the fact that Matheus Hosetu wouldn't be playing, but relieved that Matheus Hosetu wouldn't be playing for Atlanta United. Absolutely mustard news.
Be a big miss for Atlanta.
Big miss for Atlanta. Quote unquote interesting news for Charlotte FC fans. So just funny how that works. Everyone was kind of slagging off Matheus before the season. Maybe two people on this podcast that shall go unnamed. But
maybe
no.
Nobody had that on their bingo cards that people would be like, right. Oh man, he's
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
We're gonna win now.
It's funny how differently a team that's like geographically so close can look at a player and just have a totally different vibe about them. To Rosetto's credit, like he's had a phenomenal first two matches before the injury. And he shut everybody up, and I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I've said it. Like, I'll say it again. I'll shut my mouth about it. Like, he's killed it, and I'm super happy. But I just think it's funny that as much was said beforehand for, you know, you would think that they were talking about, like, Almada or, like, a Miggy or a Joseph in his prime. Like, oh, this is huge. Like, they're going to be missing Hosetu. And if you said that to any Atlanta United fan last year, they would have been like, okay. What's the big deal?
Oh, no, Sadich is playing. That's what they would be saying last year.
Yeah. But the things have changed. They flipped the script on everybody, and I'm here for it. Yeah. But I just think it's funny. It was just a strange set of tweets that James just happened to go and get the receipts on.
No, good to see.
2023 is off to a weird start.
I know.
Yes,
he
did
train on Tuesday, did he?
He did not
train, right? Okay.
So. He popped out for a minute. I think he was doing something indoors, but you know, just probably conditioning. But he was not actively participating in training. Ozzie Alonso was still, you know, we mentioned that last week, but he was out there doing his own thing. Other than that, Eric Lopez was involved in training. So gotta point that out.
Future Columbus Crew starter Eric Lopez.
Future Columbus Crew killer.
Oh, yeah. That'd be something.
So we got we got a game to talk about. We got a new guest for next week that we got to talk about because it'll be fun. It'll be a big one. I think people, especially Atlanta fans, obviously, and that's most of who's listening, will enjoy. So we'll point out who that guest is going to be near the end. But how do we dive into it? What are the talking points for this Portland match? Obviously, we just heard from Ryan, and he's got. I think the big thing for them is going to be the injuries. But I'm curious, kind of, on what you guys think about how Atlanta approaches this one.
Aggressive. You have to start aggressive in this game. You got a team, like Ryan said, that's hurt, and you got to go in and you got to beat them. You got to get them out of the game, just like you did Charlotte, right? I mean, Charlotte had not injuries, but they've just been off, right? Like they haven't got their game together. this team is going to be missing a lot of players, and they're filling in. When you're filling guys in, it's the chemistry isn't going to be there. We saw that all last season with Atlanta. When you're constantly changing the lineups, things go off, people make mistakes, they don't know what the other guy's doing. You're at home, like we talked about earlier, teams love to go to the bends, and they love to just try to get a point. You can't do that. You got to force their hand, get up 1-0, and then you're going to end up with a 3 or 4-0 win. Spoiler, that's going to be one of those are going to be my score line here, but they've just got to be aggressive from the start. Like they have the talent here and they're getting the consistency. And my biggest question of this is what's the starting lineup going to be? Because a lot of these guys are going to be leaving, right? For especially a couple of the guys that have been on the bench with NTN and Giakoumakis, like those guys are going to be going away after this week. So do you give them their start? Do you give them their first home start? And that's going to be difficult too, because Caleb Wiley just came off a brace. So do you not reward Caleb there? I don't know. To me, the lineup's going to be the most interesting part. But if anything, I think that Giakoumakis definitely starts.
Yeah. Injuries is the big one. But I think along with that, the trip, Portland are having to travel across the country for the match. And that just adds to kind of the, not the intrigue, but the list of things that Portland need to be mindful of. They're wounded. They have a lot of players out, like we already mentioned, Ryan mentioned. So I don't want to go over that again, but this is a tough trip. And Mercedes-Benz Stadium, when Atlanta United are playing well, is a tough place to play for any opponent. And I think a lot of that was lost in 2022 with all the injuries to some extent. Mercedes-Benz Stadium kind of lost that fortress feeling. But I think at the same time, with a weakened opponent, and to take nothing away from Portland as a whole, but, you know, Tommy, you said it, you know, they're a weakened opponent. They have so many players missing, and not just any player, but very important players, starting 11 players. So I feel that, yes, Atlanta United should win this match going away, but how many times have we seen this team kind of let teams that they should beat at home hang around a little bit? Toronto is a prime example. That should have been a win. And I don't want to talk about it too much, but you know, by all accounts, that should have been a win against a club that were missing key players that were having to travel. Not nearly as far as Portland are having to do, but still, it's a away match for Toronto. They, in a way, were desperate to kind of get a point themselves after really collapsing, for lack of a better term, against DC United a week prior for the season opener. So I think things are, I don't want to say things are dire for Portland, but this is a match that I think their fans will feel that they're kind of behind the eight ball here, considering the injuries and considering that they had to fly 2,000 miles across the country to take on a club that are 2-0-1 and looking to go 3-0-1 to start the season. So a lot of things really stacked against Portland. That being said, they're probably going to win. To quote Ryan, MLS is weird.
MLS is weird. No, I mean, I think if you're Atlanta, man, you just got to take everything that you got from that match against Charlotte and bring it home. And everything gets amplified when you're at home, right? So the morale that you get from knocking out an opponent, dominating an opponent at their own stadium, you have to take advantage of that. You got to bring it home and get out in front of, you know, 45,000 people or whatever and let them really, really just put the nail in the coffin. And yeah, get the early goal again. Yeah. Hit hard early. Make the other team open up. Because the way that I see it playing, I think, yes, like Tommy said, I think aggressive is what Atlanta needs to do initially. Get that early goal. Put pressure on early. Obviously, as always, keep your defensive shape, your discipline. But considering you're playing a team that has the injuries and is coming to one of the toughest places to play in MLS, I think you have to expect they're going to come in and they're going to pack everything deep, you know, and mid, and you're going to have to figure out a way to play through it. And I'll give the really quick insight into the training ground the other day. I kind of touched on it a little bit a minute ago or earlier. But the drills that Pineda were having the guys do, they were very much, one of them was by his own design, which I thought was really cool. But they were all just designed to play through that kind of heavy traffic that mm-hmm. I think they're expecting to see in the midfield, especially. So, you know, being able to play through tight spaces, play short passes, create passing lanes. That's one of the big things he was harping on. You know, create the space to move the ball up the field. And one of the other drills that they worked on was hitting quickly on the counter. The moment that ball gets turned over, you're going the other way. And I think that's a great thing to see. And it's a great tool to add to an already, you know, tough attack. So, I think that's going to be the key, is if they can play around, over, through, whatever, they can get past that midfield. I mean, Ryan mentioned it, the back line's not the Timbers. It's not stellar right now. They have issues. The whole team has issues, but they have issues. So I think if you get the ball to Giakoumakis, who I think will start, you get the ball to Araújo, you get the ball hopefully to Caleb, obviously Hamada, they're going to make them pay. You just got to get them there.
You can't get too high, though. You can't hope to ride the highs too much of what happened in Charlotte, because this is a different match. This is a different situation. So I think my fear for Atlanta will be they're going to try to say, hey, we went right through to Charlotte, and look at us. We're 2-0-1, if I can say it. we can just go into this match and just boss Portland around. But like you said, Tyler, Portland are going to try to, I guess, suck the life out of the match as much as they can, considering that they're injured, they're banged up, considering that they're coming across the country. So this is a different match. This is a much different opponent, and you can't just go in and expect to just walk off the pitch with a win. This is MLS. You have to bring your best to every match. There's so much parity, as we've already mentioned, in this league. Anyone can beat anyone, essentially. So, yeah, Atlanta, if they aren't careful, they could be on the other end of somewhat of a shock result if they aren't too careful with how Portland will want to play this match, which, yeah, I believe they're going to just want to leave town with a point, which essentially will be 3 points for them.
I'm not worried at all. Talk to me on the ratings show on Sunday. I'm not worried. I think that this team is going to continue to press at home. They're going to push hard, and this is going to be an easier win than we think. That's me knocking on wood right there.
I'll knock on it with you.
Oh, gosh.
You know what's interesting? Like, and this is just a small thing, and like, Rand and Bo will be happy about this, but like, it was weird because I got to the bar to watch the game on Saturday, and I checked the lines of games. You know, it's sports gambling's legal here in Ohio, and Atlanta was the underdog of that game. Like, they were the underdog of that game, and that really surprised me. Like, I guess I haven't paid attention, you know, too much to soccer, and like, what, like, does the home team automatically like the favorite most times? But it was just surprising me that they were such an underdog and in a game where I think most people had Atlanta favored.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think maybe you expect it because MLS is traditionally an extremely hard league to go and get a point on the road. And it's so different from anywhere else in the world, because you got to think about, you know, you've got what the state of Georgia is essentially, you know, pretty close to the size of like England. And so a little bit smaller, but you get the point. Like, you're not traveling. For like, perfect example, this weekend, Portland's traveling through three time zones to get to Atlanta, losing hours and having to fly, and you're messing up your entire routine of your week in terms of how you got to travel and everything else. So, I mean, it is tough. It is hard. And God knows the weather between Portland and Atlanta is drastically different, especially this time of year. So, I just think a lot of people put that stock in, oh, the home team just is going to they're going to dominate. And that's like a key thing for teams to hit on. I think if you can put some stock in going and getting away points, you are already a step above anybody else in this league, because most of your teams are not planning on going on the road and fully expecting to get three. They were confident. Yeah. Atlanta was confident this past weekend, which was great, and it paid off. But you don't. I think a lot of teams, yeah, absolutely, especially with one like this, Portland's not coming to feel like they're going to come and win. Because all things considered, they're coming to just try to steal something and go home. Yeah. So that mindset, if you have it, it might get you through as long as you're doing well at home. But if you can get those extra points here and there on the road, you're going to be sitting a big step above everybody else.
Yeah.
All righty. Cool.
Predictions. Mark says 4-1 Atlanta.
4-1 Atlanta tomorrow. Hey, I'm here
thank
for
you
it.
For, thank you for chatting, Mark. Everyone else stopped for some reason. I don't know what happened.
They're watching Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I believe you guys can comment, please.
Yeah, drop your predictions in the chat and let's see what you have to say. But yeah, how are you guys feeling?
We're running it back 3-0.
3-0. Man.
I'm going to go with Oh man. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with that. I'm gonna say 3-0 as well. I like it, Tommy. Mm.
Last time you copied me, we both got it right. So
right, exactly. I'm here for it.
This feels like a match that where Portland is just gonna nick a goal in the first half somehow, but then Atlanta United will really flex their muscle and eventually win 2-1. They won't be nearly as clinical as we would hope in a match like this, but I think eventually they'll get to a place where they kind of get a jolt to the system through a Portland goal and eventually get the win, I think, to improve to 3-0-1, which I don't think they've ever been since entering MLS.
Already with the best start to MLS season. With what they've got so far. So
yeah.
A win this weekend would be huge, especially all things considered going into the Columbus match away.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that next week for sure. But yeah, I mean,
does Yakimaka start?
The clean sheet stays. I hope it stays.
Me too.
Yeah. So who you got? You mentioned Yakimaka, Tommy. Who you got?
Do you think he starts?
Yes.
I agree. Sydney?
I'll go with yes. And I'll say that's the maybe only change to the 11 from Charlotte. I think everything else is the same, except Yakimakis will start, I believe.
Do you see NTN getting more time?
I think so. I think he gets a little more time. I think he eventually continues to, again, work his way into this roster. Wiley won't make it easy. But no. I think GGC only changed from last Saturday.
Yeah, I think Etienne probably would be starting this match had Caleb not had the match he had this past week.
Yeah,
I really think like it was about time for Etienne to really get the time and get the start. But you can't bench a kid that just won player of the week, that just scored a brace, that just had an assist. You can't take him out. You know, and I know, I'm sure Etienne understands that. Like, he's a professional. You don't, like, you keep the hot hand and you go with it. So I agree. I think that's really Yakimakis for Barry, I think, is the only real change. Yeah. Quick notes. I'll throw this out there really quick. Well, hang on. Tommy, who are your goal scorers for your 3-0?
Oh, we're going this deep, huh? Yeah. Yakimakis, Aruju, and Entian.
Okay. Yako, Aruju, and I'm going to say Almada. But I think Entian gets an assist.
Yeah, I say GG and Almada, goal scorers.
Okay.
I'm saying GG to Trigger Bo, by the way.
Oh, one more thing we got to predict. What is the time that Gutman, from the end of the game, produces his first tweet? Because I think that should be something that's very important at this point in time, because that man is tweeting before, like, I even, like, get off the couch
for the game. Within 8 minutes of the final whistle.
I mean, it's crazy at this point. Like, and, like, it's great. Like, I love it. But, man, it's, like, it's just a thing you expect now.
Yeah.
It's like he's using his phone as one of his shin guards.
Right?
There he's got it.
It's, I love it. Shoe. And what did he tweet? Like, he tweeted support, or didn't he, like, say player of the week or something like that for Wiley?
Settle player of the week. Caleb, funny.
I'm here for it. I like this attitude and spiciness the team has. I think it's great. Parada and Johnny Fortune, who we haven't really hit on, could have hit on him earlier. We're talking about Charlotte, but Johnny Fortune got his first minutes, like literally like 2 minutes as in an MLS match, coming up from the twos. Pineda's been super high on him. Kid's got talent. He did great in the AmFam Cup last year. Was actually a part of one of the goals that was scored in that first AmFam Cup. But he's been a captain with the twos, been doing a great job. So it was cool to see him get in. He had some stuff to say. Make sure you guys go check out DirtySouthSoccer.com.
Yep.
We have a bunch of articles that have come out this week. But that is one of them, the training day article that kind of goes over just everything about that on Tuesday, about the training day yesterday. But a Johnny Fortune had plenty to say, just super humble, super excited about, you know, getting his time and is looking for more. And then Parada, real quick thing about Parada, man, the guy's so likable. He walked up, stepped up to the podium, and he, before anybody said anything, he goes, "I'm going to try this in English." And we were not expecting that. And,
killed it.
Did a great job, man. And just, you know, again, go check out the article for all the details about what was said. But he talked about, you know, wanting to get back on the score sheet, because we all know how he did with his headers last year, hat trick in a match. He said to him, the biggest thing was just keeping the clean sheets. And I think that's something that would be very refreshing for Atlanta to be able to go into a handful of matches and just keep goals from getting scored. I think that would boost the confidence a ton. Because it helps out your attack as well, right? Like, when you keep a clean sheet for a couple of matches, it gives your attack a little more confidence going forward. So, if they can keep that up in the back, I think you might see a new level for the four guys up front, whoever they may be. Yeah. And with that, let's see. We've hit on, I think, everything except for letting everybody know who our next guest is.
But cell phone,
yeah, just like the Joseph candle.
Yeah. Yep.
Any final points before we let everybody know?
3 points, hopefully.
Yes, 3 points.
Hopefully. Positivity is just nice. Like, that's it's weird to feel positive. Like, you've gone like such a point. Like, Sydney, you were talking about the game, what your prediction was, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I just got used to a game where I'm sitting cool in the second half started. I'm relaxed. I'm enjoying the game. I don't have to worry about anything unless it's a 28-3 blowing of this score here. Right.
God.
And I didn't think that would happen, but man, like it just felt great. And like, I never would have predicted 3-0 for that game. And I didn't think that'd be a thing. And like, now I'm like feeling confident that this team defensively can do what they can. The offense is starting to click. I mean, some of those plays specifically, you don't get those goals without chemistry, and you're seeing this game with chemistry. Like even that Chicago game, which Sydney, we did find out that was the game that Miles got hurt. So my apologies. We got to make sure that I throw that out there. But like even that game, like you know, it's they're dominating, but you're like, yeah, but this team isn't good, right? Like you knew that team was not good last year. I'm feeling great, and you know we'll see what happens because the schedule does get harder and you run into your situation that you're going to run into next week. But these are the games that you want to win, right? These are the games you have to win. And that's what we said last week about Charlotte. You got to go in there, get the early goal. You're the better team. Don't let them get you worried. Don't have to fight back. And I think we're going to see that exact same game plan. And if we lose, I'm just not going to show up next week because I just way too much about my positivity. Well, we are back, Bruno. We're back, baby.
All right. Yeah, Bruno asking, are we back?
TBD. TBD.
No, no, no. No TBD. You know what? You've really been throwing water on me on everything I've been saying today. No. Sorry, no. Tommy. We're back.
Okay. We're back.
See? From Sydney's mouth.
There it is.
We're back.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
And we'll see it. We'll see it this weekend. We'll see it next weekend. I hope. Yeah. We're back.
Hopefully it doesn't rain in Columbus.
Yeah, God. We'll turn that place into a swimming pool again.
Right. Next week's show, by the way, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. We have somebody. I got to hype them up a little bit first. If you go to an Atlanta game at home, you know this person at all, if you've ever been into the Benz, but he's taken a bigger role with the team this year. And I think it's incredible because he was already kind of like when you mentioned this person's name, it was kind of, you already associated him with Atlanta United. And for him to now be taking on a full role, providing so much entertainment for everybody at the Benz, I think that's great. And they see his talent and they see everything he brings. Hype man for sure. Don't stare at the booth too long because you might get a seizure because it is bright. But DJ EU will be coming on the show next week and chatting about his role with Atlanta and everything else he's got going on. So we'll have a good time with him and it'll be a pretty hyped show, I think.
One of the questions I'll have for him, because I didn't get to really go many games before, was did he start with them during COVID? Because I remember he was doing those hype, like he was doing five straight Fridays. During COVID, I actually won a cooler with some free Chick-fil-A coupons. I'll bring the cooler on the show if I still have it somewhere, but it was really cool. Like that was like something that they were doing to get the fans, still kind of excited when COVID was going on and everybody was, stuck at home.
Yeah,
make sure he doesn't have his volume up at 1,000 like usual. If it's too loud, you're too old.
Yeah, exactly.
He keeps that place lit, though, for real. I can't believe she's lit on a podcast, but yeah, no, he keeps the Benz on point. It's fun, and he did the laser show. He was involved with the laser show for the AmFam Cup, and that was cool. And he's doing all the music inside the Benz now. So we're definitely gonna chat with him about all this next week when he comes on. But
do we wear glow sticks or no?
I don't have any.
I got glow sticks.
Mark said, well, I was born in the 60s, so. All right, Bruno, real quick. Do you guys think that this year the players are having more freedom to use their phones and post-match stuff?
Maybe.
I think maybe they've been low-key encouraged to have a little more. I mean, I'm not saying they were told to go out there and, like, stir the pot, but I think maybe they've been freed up a little bit to kind of have a little bit of fun. You need it, right? You need it.
Like, exactly. After last year.
Yeah, you want to defend your guys. If somebody's saying something about them, it's nice to hear them coming back out and saying, no, hang on a minute. So maybe a little bit.
I mean, look at what they went through, though, last year. Like, they went through a lot of locker room drama. And I mean, some of that locker room drama, like you couldn't even tell which way that drama was even going. Like Joseph gets suspended. They're all posting pictures of Joseph, random pictures from 5 years ago, Joseph, like, these aren't live pictures. And then you're like, oh, what is this? Like, and if vibes are high, they're going to be on there. And, I mean, you see, Gutman going after, Felipe or whatever. Yeah. And then someone says something about Doug. And then Ozzy Alonso talks about Joe and saying something about, like, he got the injury date wrong. Like, they're on social media, man.
Yeah, they are.
I just want to know who the new, like, main grill guy is going to be, because it was Alan Franco for a little bit. And before that, it was, was it Joseph? When all the pitchers, like, would they be at his house grilling and
yeah, I know, right? Stuff?
LGP was always on the grill.
That's it. It was LGP. That's right. He was the guy. Yeah, I want to know who the new one is. I need to know who's taking that role over, because it depends. Are we doing Argentine barbecue like asado, or are we doing like Gutman's going to be out there on like a Coleman in the backyard? Right, so I want to know who's got that role going forward.
I think NTN looks like a fun guy, like that would be throwing parties. That's just my thought from at least hearing him talk and seeing like, you know, how fun he is. So I could see him throwing those parties.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see.
Yep.
All right.
Maybe we'll find
rambling now.
We're having fun.
Yeah. We love having fun.
That's what the show is about, fun.
Exactly.
And with that, Tommy, you want to tell everybody where to get us? Sydney, you got something?
No, I'm just pointing Tommy, my fingers at the camera.
Tell them where to find us. T-Grace just went up 1-0 on Orlando, so oh boy. Champions League is in full force right now. Sorry, Austin, if you're an Austin fan.
Yes.
But
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Sydney at SH Rights, Tyler Pilgrim, ATL Pilgrim. I'm Tommy, ATL 96. Thanks for hanging out with us for that episode that went above the Fast and Furious series. We can't ignore that we have outlasted Vin Diesel.
We've made this point. Hit the big time.
But yeah, catch us on Sunday. We'll be doing our ratings for the game. And then we'll be back next Wednesday to talk about Columbus and where I'm going to buy my ponchos at for this game.
And get hyped with DJ EU.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Thanks, everyone.
See ya. Take care.